Saturday, May 11th, 2019. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to spingolaspeaks.net and screeningsandyhook.net. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, just email comment at spingola.email or visit our chat room at spingola.chatango.com. If you wish to review past programs, visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left side of the page. My first guest today is John Barbour, B-A-R-B-O-U-R, who is a Hollywood legend. He's the godfather of reality TV, the filmmaker, producer of the Garrison Tapes, and author of Your Mother's Not a Virgin. Very catching title. His website is johnbarbersworld.com. He dropped out of high school at the age of 15, was a runaway, and was deported from Canada at age 17. He was a creator, producer, co-host, and writer of Real People, America's first reality TV program that ran from 1979 to 1984. He was the original host of AMLA in 1970, where he interviewed controversial anti-war guests such as Muhammad Ali, Cesar Chavez, and Jane Fonda. John was Frank Sinatra's personal writer. He was the first in America to do film reviews on the news, winning 3 consecutive Emmys as KNBC's critic at large. He spent 10 years as Los Angeles Magazine's most widely read and quoted critic. He made stand-up comedy appearances on the Dean Martin program and The Tonight Show and others. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, Diana, thank you so much. I hope when I pass away, you read that same thing as my eulogy. That just sounded wonderful to me, and I must tell you, you have a beautiful voice, and you have a lovely name, Diana Spingola. It sounds so Italian and so musical, and a very, very day before Happy Mother's Day to you, Diana.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I think being a parent, being a mother, is probably the most enjoyable situation, the most enjoyable thing I have ever accomplished. I attempted to be the mother that I didn't have. We share a lot of commonality with our growing up years. I left home the day before I turned 16, never returned.
Wow.
And so we do have a lot of commonality with our mothers. And so it's important to me to try to be a good mother and not emulate my own mother.
Oh, my goodness gracious, you sound exactly like me, because when people ask me, was my mother a good example? I would say she's a perfect example of the kind of human being not to be. And, you know, anybody on Mother's Day or any other day who has a loving mother to remember as one of the luckiest, greatest miracles in life, because millions of us, Diana, as you know, did not have that. You mentioned that I was deported from Canada. I was deported twice from the United States back to Canada. I had come here, I was deported once at 17 and then again when I was 28 years of age, and I was told by the best immigration lawyers in America that I could never get the United States government to reinterpret the laws to allow me back into the country, and yet I succeeded. And all of that is in the book. Now, just briefly, since you mentioned your background, I'll mention a little bit about mine. I came, like you, from a severely dysfunctional family long before it was popular. I was born in the Salvation Army hospital ward in Toronto, Canada, an accidental child, and found out later that I was an unwanted child. In 1939, my father joined the Canadian Army to go to the peace and quiet of World War II. And then uncles in my house became like grapes. They came in bunches to seduce my mother and drink with my mother and take her away. So from the time I was 6 years of age, I was almost always on the street. If I wasn't at a hockey rink in a reformatory, I was either in a movie theater for a nickel watching a double feature or at a library. That's how I spent my time. And also I spent a lot of my time in jail because I was in trouble a lot. And indeed, I dropped out when I was 15. And I came to the United States at 17 to be a professional gambler. And what I did is I got to the border and I told them that I was just going to be here a couple of days. And then I hopped on a train, of course, to go to Las Vegas. Now, by that time, between the ages of 14 and 16, I had become accidentally a professional gambler. I had spent most of my time and my money, the money that I could earn or the money that I could steal, in these all-night gambling sessions, and I lost them, Diana. I lost. I was always the first to lose and the last to leave. And then I realized I wasn't there to make money. I was there to make friends because I didn't have any. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I better learn how to do it properly. So, Diana, I went to the library. I got two books. One was called Skarnian Dice and Skarnian Cards. And I learned to master the odds of poker and dice and blackjack. And in 1 week, I made $700 as a 16-year-old. And I bought myself a blue suit, hopped on the train, and went to Las Vegas because, of course, that's the gambling Vatican of the world. There was an accident on the tracks leading into Nevada, so we had to stop. Now, Diana, I thought the immigration department had called ahead to stop the train because this kid, Johnny Barber, is illegally in the country. So I hopped off the train, and I found the closest place that I could go was a place called Lake Tahoe.
Oh!
So I got on a bus to Lake Tahoe. I am 17 years of age. I get off in front of Lake Tahoe, Cal Neva Lodge, and it looked like something built by an MGM musical. I mean, it just looked so gorgeous. So I went inside. I looked around for a while, just staggered at what the beauty of what I was seeing and all these interesting, exciting, well-dressed gamblers. So I got to the crap table and started to gamble, and I was doing all right, and my back was to the front door. And I was wearing this gorgeous blue suit, the suit that is on the cover of the book. The book is called Your Mother's Not a Virgin, The Bumpy Life and Times of the Canadian Dropout Who Changed the Face of American Television. Anyway, at 17, I looked like I was 25, but I was still nervous that I was underage. But they did not care because I had money and I was doing well. And people stopped and started looking toward me. And I thought, oh, my God, they must know I'm 16 or 17 and they're going to arrest me. And then all of a sudden the dealer stopped and they're looking past me. So I stopped. It was like everything got silent, totally silent. I turned around and guess who walked in the front door?
Frank Sinatra.
That's right. He had his overcoat draped over his shoulders like an Italian Superman. And he was he was literally arm in arm was Sam Giancana. Now, I recognized Giancana as this giant Italian mobster from Chicago because on the train was a front page story about him, and they were followed by three Italian Praetorian Guard. And I was staggered because a week earlier at the Manor Theater in Kingston Road in Toronto for 5 cents, I saw the Jerome Kern story. And you may remember this if you remember the film. Frank Sinatra is on a tall white pedestal in a white tuxedo singing Old Man River almost as beautifully as Paul Robeson. And he walked right past me. And 25 years later, I became his private writer. And, you know, all of this was accidental, and all of this was absolutely and totally unplanned. So that anything you want to ask me or talk to me about, I'd just be thrilled to talk to you, because you and I have so much in common.
How true. I went to Lake Tahoe at the age of 14.
Oh, my God.
And won a couple of $100s. And I grew up in Sacramento, so Lake Tahoe was very close to me. And you were the producer, are the producer of the of JFK, of the Garrison Tapes. And
yes,
the
two films. The first one's called The Garrison Tapes, which you can see for nothing on my site, and the second one's called The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
And I remember where I was, the people I was with, everything about that day, and it just stuck in my mind. And I read everything that I could. I read whatever Garrison put out at that time, and I know that he wrote a book. I think it was later that he wrote a book about it, and I followed his activities. I believed in what he said. It was just an amazing thing. I grew up loving books. I'm a bookworm. I just that was my solace. I spent a lot of time in my bedroom reading, and I have an amazing book collection. And I just remember that so vividly, and wanted to just know everything that happened. And of course, there was a movie made about him, and
I'll tell you something. I'm one of the few people that I know that has a completely and total open mind. And a lot of people will say that's because there's nothing in it. Well, it's true. I have no beliefs. None whatsoever. I either know something or I don't know something. But the one thing I do believe in is serendipity. And I think in talking to you today, it is serendipity. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you just very, I know the book you're talking about, and I'll tell you how the title of my book came about, because it's as a result of reading the book that you read. Now, you know where you were on November 22nd, 1963, when our only peace president, as Jim Garrison referred to John Kennedy, was murdered by the Central Intelligence Agency. I knew exactly where I was. I was writing jokes in my apartment in Los Angeles. I had my second professional job as a stand-up comic was at the famous Hungry Eye in San Francisco. You recall the Hungry Eye? That's the birthplace of Mort Saul and Jonathan Winters, Barbara Streisand, and Bill Cosby. My first professional job there was in October of 1963, and I did so well they booked me back the fourth week in November.
Wow.
And so I had to open a couple of days after he was murdered.
I was writing
jokes to go back into the Hungry Eye, because I did mostly political material. And then he was shot. I felt like Von Meter. You might remember Von Meter had this great comedy album called The First Family. It sold 5 million copies in 1 week. And John Kennedy references it in the movie. So what I literally had to do is I had to rewrite my act. Of course, when I went to San Francisco, like John Kennedy, the city was dead. I mean, 8 people showed up. Now, the following week, I was supposed to open in Fresno in a place that held 600 people. And I called my agent and I said, listen, I can't do anything in an empty barn. There'll be nobody there. And he says, believe me, it'll be a full house. I did not know that many people in America hated John Kennedy. I thought everybody loved John Kennedy. I got to Fresno. It was sold out. People were celebrating, 600 people standing.
Oh, my gosh.
So I learned an unbelievable lesson about the media. During the Spanish War, Mark Twain said, if you don't read American newspapers, you're uninformed. But if you do, you're misinformed.
Absolutely.
We have been misinformed since November 22nd, 1963. So any event, time passes. I become a very successful comic. I'm on the Tonight Show. I'm on Dean Martin's show. I'm signed by Westinghouse to replace Merv Griffin when he went to CBS. And I was the opening act for Robert Goulet and Bobby Darin in Las Vegas. Now, when John Kennedy was murdered in 1963, a company in America, Diana, could only own 5 radio or 5 television stations. There were 1,500 different owners of radio and television stations at that time. Now, the worst president in American history, and this is not an opinion, this is a provable fact, the worst president in American history was Bill Clinton. First of all, he had destroyed America by signing NAFTA and sending jobs overseas. Then he had destroyed America further and the economy by repealing Glass-Steagall. This was an act enacted by FDR to save capitalism from socialism and save Americans from gambling Wall Streeters. That was repealed by Bill Clinton, which created the 2008 Depression that cost me $1 million home and other millions of people their homes without anybody going to prison. But then worse, he signed the Communications Act in 1996, which turned 95% of all our media over to 6 major corporations, all of them monopolies, dispensing fake news, even though President Trump is the one that brought up this fake news proof. But right now, he is doing nothing about it except talking about it. Now, I'm going to get to the book that you're talking about. The reason that the AM show appeared is because with so few companies owning a station, they could be challenged by local groups. And in Los Angeles in 1970, 20,000 Chicanos had taken to the street to challenge the license of ABC in LA because they weren't being represented. So to appease them and the Federal Communications Commission, they dumped all their shows and decided to do a morning news show. I beat out about 10 of the leading Chicanos in LA to become host of that show. For some reason or other, I don't know why. And we took that show from a 0 to a 5 rating, where we were head and head with the network Today Show. Oh, Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw in 1967. And when he arrested him, he announced to the world that he had solved the crime, the Central Intelligence Agency had committed the murder, and that there would be convictions in a courtroom. And there, and Lee Harvey Oswald had nothing to do with it. Well, of course, the media jumped all over him. And then the government said he was a kook. Now, I'm a street kid like you. So I keep thinking, well, if the guy has nothing, why don't people get out of his way and let him fall on his face? But they didn't. They did everything to stop him. Now, January 29th, 1969. I never wanted a child because I didn't know what kind of father I was going to be. However, my son was born on January 29th, 1969, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And that day, serendipity, was the day that Jim Garrison took Clay Shaw into a court of law. 2 months later, he lost the conspiracy charge. He had charged Clay Shaw is the handler of Lee Harvey Oswald with conspiracy to murder John Kennedy. Since then, all the documents are out, prove that he was CIA. And one of the documents in our film, dated 1967 from the CIA, says we have to help Clay Shaw legally, otherwise Jim Garrison's going to win the case. Now, America thought, and you probably thought, he lost the case. But he did not. He won the perjury case. And it was a slam dunk conviction that Clay Shaw would get 99 years in prison. And because one of the witnesses they had was a fellow named James Whalen. James Whalen, You can see it if you go to my site, johnbarbersworld.com, and you Google the Garrison Files, the one I just released a week ago. How is this for serendipity? Shows that James Whalen was offered $25,000 by Clay Shaw and David Ferry to murder Jim Garrison, $10,000 up front, $15,000 afterward. And James Whalen told Garrison he actually considered it, not because he needed the money, but his daughter had polio. And he was promised by the federal government the best doctors in America to cure his daughter of polio. But he thought more about the fate of the country than he did his own daughter. That was just put up 2 days ago, proving Jim Garrison's case more and more about the Central Intelligence Agency. So anyway, I get the show in 1970. It's all over with. I know nothing about the case. I am so happy to be in America. I'm struggling to be a citizen. And I have this fantastic show. I have the greatest guests in America on: Muhammad Ali, Jane Fonda, Cesar Chavez calls me to be on my show when he is called to be a character witness at the murder of one of LA's leading Chicano reporters. He was shot by a policeman during a riot, a rubber canister. His name was Ruben Salazar, and of course they arrested a guy named Corky Gonzalez, and his character witness was to be Cesar Chavez, and Cesar called me and asked could he be on the show to speak on behalf of Corky Gonzalez. It was just the most thrilling show in the world. Anyway, one day I'm in a bookstore, and I see a book called Heritage of Stone. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And there's the name Jim Garrison. And I think, wow, was this the same guy? So I pick it up and I start to read it. Diana, I remember the bookstore, Edmund Brown's bookstore on Hollywood Boulevard. I didn't move for 4 hours. I was transfixed reading about all the information and evidence that he brought to the trial that we never heard about. First of all, the famous Zapruder film. Time Life owned it, and they wouldn't release it to Garrison to show a jury. So he took them to the Supreme Court, and luckily he won. So for the first time in history, outside of the lying Dan Rather, a jury got to see the Zapruder film. Then there's the only forensic pathologist at Bethesda who testifies that they were not allowed to perform an autopsy on the president, that they were stopped by admirals and generals. One of them probably was General Curtis LeMay. They weren't even allowed to look at x-rays or photographs. And if you look at the Warren Report and you look at the pictures of the gunshot through the back of President Kennedy's head, you know what it is? It is a cartoon pencil drawing, which means it looks like Mad Magazine has designed the Warren Report. So anyway, I read all this, and I can't believe it. And I think, what a great story. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I must tell you, honestly, Diana, as a kid, having no family, it was either listening to Lorne Greene on the radio. He was a fellow that eventually became Ben Cartwright on Bonanza on the CBC. And going to the library and reading stories, Guy de Maupassant, Mark Twain, O. Henry. I was a junkie reader. It was reading stories that kept me alive. Now that I'm older with my book, it's the telling of stories that keeps me alive. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a storyteller. And I came to America because the stories I loved were those of Frank Capra and movie like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life. That was the America that I wanted to come to. So anyway, I call Mr. Garrison, and he answers the phone. And I said, Mr. Garrison, my name's John Barber, and I'm hosting the number one show in Los Angeles right now, and I just read Heritage of Stone. And Diana, he starts to giggle. And he said, oh, you must be the other one, John. I only sold 2 copies.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is not entirely true.
Because I bought a copy.
It was a best. You were number. No, it was, and indeed a bestseller. But he had that kind of sardonic sense.
Sure.
So I said, I want to book you on the show. And right away he says, you'll never get away with it. And I said, what do you mean? I won my first Emmy. I'm sure I'm going to win another one. He said, well, congratulations, but they will never let me on television in this country. Have you never heard of Project Mockingbird? I said, no, what's that? He said, well, I'll tell you some other time, but they won't let truth on American television. They own everything now. The CIA has taken over everything. So I finally talked him into doing it. We were going to pay his airfare, put him up at the Roosevelt Hotel, and he accepted. So we started this long conversation on the phone. And he said, John, you know, it's 1970. It's 7 years after they killed our only peace president, John Kennedy. Do you know that 81% of all Americans do not believe the Warren Report? They don't even believe that Lee Harvey did it or acted alone. And I said, well, Mr. Garrison, if so many people know that, why isn't more noise being made? He said, well, get the second question in the poll, and this will tell you exactly what Americans are like. And I said, what's that question? People were then asked, would they like a deeper, more thorough investigation in which the CIA and the FBI are also investigated? And he said, only 21% yet said yes. And he said, what does that say about us? And I said, well, Mr. Garrison, I know what it says to me. I know what my mother and father did in the rumble seat of the car or under the pool table or in the alley of the bedroom to conceive me. But don't ever tell me my mother's not a virgin. Well, he howled. And he said, he said, that sounds like Mark Twain, who once said, it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled. And I'm telling you, John, we have been fooled and lied to since November 22nd, 1963, and I'd be delighted and honored to be on your show. The next day, I was fired and he was canceled. Now, I must tell you, I'm 37 years of age and I'm doing fairly well until I get canceled. But Diana, I never thought one thing about any of the warnings he said about the CIA owning the media and all the rest of it. I'm in show business. I'm trying to get a job. You know, if I'm working at the Sahara with Bob Goulet, I'm only working for 2 weeks. If I get a television show, maybe only get it for 13 weeks. I didn't think it had absolutely anything to do with any kind of conspiracy to get rid of me, to not have Jim Garrison's story told. But I did find out indeed exactly 10 years later that that's what happened when I tried to tell a story when I had Real People as the number one show in America.
Wow, that is amazing and very believable, of course. And I think most of my listeners have heard of Project Operation Mockingbird. And as far as the CIA running the news that we hear, I totally agree and believe in that.
Well, and, to show you, I hate to interrupt you, but to show you absolutely smart Jim Garrison is. And it's all in the second movie. The second movie is called The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. A monster hit on Amazon. Only word of mouth. Not only do I not get any help from the conspiracy community, because why would they be interested in telling Jim Garrison's story for $2 when they're selling books for $25? I get no help from them. I get no help from the mainstream media. And yet it is an absolute monster total hit. Now, Jim Garrison is on camera. This is how smart he is. When he decides to arrest Clay Shaw, he's really after David Ferry, but David Ferry conveniently committed suicide and left two suicide notes. So to avoid another suicide, he rushes to arrest Clay Shaw. But then what he does, he investigates the origins of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Wow.
Are we taking
John,
a break?
Yes, we do have a three-minute break. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Thank you, dear.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite. When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty. Welcome back with our with our guest today, John Barbour. B-A-R-B-O-U-R. His website is johnbarbourworld.com. Please visit that website. Okay, continue on with your story. You are an amazing storyteller.
Oh, you're an angel. Thank you so much. That's the best compliment anyone could pay to me. And, you know, I just love the fact that you said you love to read, because I love to read. So what I would like you to do when we're finished today, Diana, I want you to send me a post office box and address. I'm going to send you a personally autographed book of my book, because I must tell you, as somebody who was 10 years the film critic at Los Angeles Magazine and the media critic at NBC, I hate to say this, that this is probably the very best book ever written about anybody in show business. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I think you'll love it, since their backgrounds are different. If you're interested in the rich and the famous and celebrities, this is a must read. If you're interested in the history of our media and the decline of our culture, this is a must read. But if you're like Diana, myself, and you've had the going tough, but you keep going, this is an absolutely must read. It's the most perfect Canadian rags to American riches story. It's like David Copperfield and I must tell you. So I would love to send you a copy of the book because I really appreciate having me on the show. But anyway, back to the story of Jim Garrison. In the American media, he's on camera talking about the fact he investigated the origins of the CIA. And he said, you know, we have 15 intelligence agencies. We did not need in the 1950s another intelligence agency, except this one was created solely for the purpose of infiltrating all our media and changing the hearts and minds of Americans about the threat of communism and communism all over the world. He said, beginning with the first fake war, which was the Soviet Union, Russia. They lost 25 million people. Do you think they're any threat to the United States? It's nonsense. And he said also, the articles drawn up for the Central Intelligence Agency were not drawn up by a military man. They were drawn up by a Wall Street lawyer. And this Wall Street lawyer became the defense secretary for Harry Truman. And then he began to question the fact that the United States was creating lies about the threats in Asia. And they committed him, James Forrestal, to a mental ward at Bethesda.
Right, and then murdered him.
Yes, supposedly a suicide. He jumped out the 16th floor window in the middle of May. So there you have these stories in the film. Now, I don't know, you probably have heard of Senator Frank Church. Well, in the 1970s, Americans were getting very nervous about what the CIA was doing. And they demanded hearings in front of Congress, and they were conducted by Senator Frank Church. These are in the film. There you have Richard Helms, the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, telling Congress they have 400 paid CIA assets, writing the news for the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, even Reader's Digest. Every major periodical in America, every television station, and every radio station. Now, that was in the 70s when we had supposedly some real enemies like Vietnam. We don't have any enemies anymore. I mean, the next fake war was Vietnam with the fake Gulf of Tonkin resolution,
right,
which every senator signed except two, and that was Gruening and Morris, who refused to sign it because they said no North Vietnamese fishing boat attacked the Fifth Fleet, which was a pretext for that fake war. That's why they murdered John Kennedy, so that they could get into Vietnam. Then, of course, unfortunately, Jim Garrison didn't live to see the next horrible fake war, which was Iraq. President George Bush and the New York Times in the person of Miller, the female columnist who kept touting the fact we have to go in there because of weapons of mass destruction. You may recall 1.5 million Americans voted democratically with their feet in every city in this country to protest that lie. And they lost, which proves again what Mark Twain said 100 years ago. If voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it.
You're so right.
Americans have absolutely nothing to do with how this country is run. It's like me. I have General Motors stock, so I can vote on General Motors, okay? But I don't vote on the design of the car. I can't determine how many miles a carburetor gets. That's up to somebody else. That's America. We have nothing to say about how this country is run, and now it's running downhill and being destroyed. So the film is by far the most important movie ever made in America. The most important movie prior to that was JFK. There was a time, you know, Diana, years ago, when Americans read books, and books could change our culture and change our life. The reason we have healthy food today is because of Upton Sinclair's book, The Jungle, about the meat.
Oh, right.
And the reason that we're all looking into the environment now is because in 1950, Rachel Carson, a young woman,
yes,
wrote The Silent Spring. Americans do not read anymore. And there used to be a power in television. When Real People was the number one show in the country, we used to get half of every human being in America watching television. And I always said to the owner of the show, I said, you know, being this popular, if we run across a story that is of public importance, we have to tell it. And we told three of them. We had more influence in 3 years on real people than 60 Minutes had in 35 years. And I'll give you an example. You see the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C.?
Right.
It is now the most visited tourist attraction in America. There was a time when this country did not want it. And the reason they did not want it, first of all, it was a very unpopular war. Second, it was designed by an Asian woman. They didn't want it. The only people who wanted it were a dozen senators and the families of people who lost their sons in this fake war. I found this professor in New Mexico whose son had been 1 week in Vietnam and murdered. And he was devastated. He lost his son. And so what he decided to do, his favorite times were with his son were hunting on a hilltop. And he decided to build just a small memorial to his son on top of this New Mexico hilltop. Now, I'm a non-believer, but I do believe in serendipity. And I do believe that there's something metaphysical at work in the universe. Without any publicity whatsoever, Diana, thousands of American parents heard about this man's plight in building this memorial to his son. And by car and bus and train, they traveled to New Mexico by the thousands, bringing their pictures and donating money. And soon this entire hill was covered with thousands of pictures lit at night about their sons who were murdered in Vietnam. Senator Udall of Utah saw the story and he called me. He said, John, can you send me 50 copies of that story? I said, I'd be honored to. 90 days later, they approved the building of the wall. Also, you've heard of John Walsh?
Oh, yes.
Okay, John Walsh's son, Adam, was kidnapped and beheaded.
A shopping mall.
In Florida. So he's begging the police and the FBI to coordinate and then look for the killers. Well, they don't. They're separate. They ignore one another. So he traveled around the country for months and months, Phil Donahue, the Today Show, every place, begging for the passage of the Missing Children's Act. And they refused. I saw the story, and I told it on Real People. 2 months later, the Missing Children's Act was passed, and I have a letter from John Walsh thanking me. And the very next day after that aired, ABC did their highest rated movie called The Adam Walsh Story. And then, of course, if you've ever heard of the Navajo Code Talkers.
Yes.
Well, folks don't know, the Japanese and the Germans were breaking all of our World War II codes. Mm-hmm. And quite accidentally, a minister who had served on the Navajo Nation happened to mention to his boss, the general, that Navajo was an unspoken language. And the general said, that's nonsense. Every language is spoken. He said, no, not Navajo. Now, there were a lot of Navajo who wanted to join, even though they didn't have freedom in their own country, for crying out loud. They still wanted to join the military and help fight the Germans and the Japanese, because that would be worse than what they are facing. So what they did is they took 30 or 40 of these Navajo. Instead of them giving them guns, they gave them secret codes. And they sent them to the Pacific, where they helped shorten the war. Now, they were never recognized after the war because every president and the Pentagon wanted to use them against either Russia or China in case we went to war with them. Well, a lot of the sons and nephews of the original Code Talkers were graduating from Marine School in San Diego. I heard about the story, and I put the story on the air. And the next week, President Reagan was on Real People, the only personality or star ever allowed on Real People. And the reason he came on was to give a presidential citation to the Navajo Code Talkers. That was the kind of impact and power that absolutely wonderful show had. We used to get 20,000 pieces of mail a week, and that show was lost tragically when I tried to tell Jim Garrison's story as a Real People story.
Amazing. Truly amazing. I found it so difficult when you said that so many people were really happy that he was shot. That I just find it so hard to believe that anybody could be happy about it, about assassination. That was really a coup d'etat.
It was certainly a coup d'etat, but they were thrilled to get rid of him. You must remember that John Kennedy barely won the election.
Right.
And he probably won the election, as much as I think he's the most intellectual and the greatest president we've had since Thomas Jefferson. And I include that, I put Abraham Lincoln in third place, because Abraham Lincoln was not for emancipation. He was only for the saving of the Union. So, but in any event, I have to recognize that the crooked Democratic Party machine under Daley, Mayor Daley in Chicago, and the mafia in the person of Sam Giancana going to Kentucky and forcing voters to vote for John Kennedy probably got him the election.
Oh, I'm sure you're right.
That's indeed questionable. But then look what happened with George Bush. That was an even bigger theft. I mean, he lost the popular election, and a conservative, corrupt Supreme Court gave that man the presidency and gave us that fake war in Iraq, which we've never recovered from. And we will never recover from. We have a dozen soldiers committing suicide every day because of George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Powell and all of those war criminals. And look at all of them still being rewarded. George Bush speaks, he gets $500 million. Condoleezza Rice is made an honorary member of the Augusta Masters Golf Club and teaches at Stanford University. They should all be in prison. They are
right. Absolutely.
They're all war criminals. So, but I think, and I've been on a number of shows, a couple of shows in particular, who have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of listeners, because they're very strong Trump supporters. They're supporters of a group called QAnon. And have you ever heard of QAnon?
No.
Oh, well, you should. Google it. QAnon. Many people believe that Donald Trump ran for the presidency because there were a number of military men who knew that the deep state murdered John Kennedy and they needed to get rid of the swamp and clean it up.
Right.
And that they talked Donald Trump into running for the presidency. Now, that's what QAnon believes. Now, he did win the presidency. There's no question. No Russians were voting for him, you know. And speaking about that, that's such a fraud, this whole business of blaming the Russians again. I must tell you, if there is a God, and he's looking down at all the governments of Earth, he must applaud the Russian government a whole lot more than he would applaud the American government. Because if the Russian government is trying to change the system, let's say they're trying to change what's going on in the United States, they use a computer and social media. What does the United States use?
Guns.
Bombs. There you
yes.
go. People do not know that in 1952, Iran had one of the most successful democracies in the world. And how the United States murdered the president because he had nationalized British Petroleum. And now, why is it that all of a sudden, the two countries in the world that have the most oil, Venezuela and Iran, become enemies? All you have to do is follow the money. As Mark Twain has said for 100 years, the United States and the Arabs own most of the oil in the world. The reason they dismembered Iraq was to keep oil in the ground so that Saddam Hussein couldn't sell oil to undercut us. That's what they're trying to do with Iran and Venezuela, is to keep their oil in the ground. It is not complicated. And, you know, I'll tell you a little story about Fidel Castro. You know, Fidel Castro was never a communist. And many people do not remember, those who are my age, let's say 50 are older might remember that when Castro succeeded in the late 50s in Cuba, he was heralded as another Viva Zapata. He came to the United States and was heralded and applauded by the New York Times. He was on the Today Show. He was on the Jack Parr Show. He ate chicken with 20,000 blacks in Harlem. They just loved the man. He was a revolutionary, like Marlon Brando and Viva Zapata. What changed was this. Do you know that? Okay, another break.
Okay. Oh, okay. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
All righty, we are back with our first guest today, John Barber.
Diane, let me ask you quickly, do I have 5 minutes? How much time do we have?
About three and a half.
Okay, I'll see if I can do this very, very quickly. When Castro took over Cuba, he was offered the refineries, oil refineries were in Havana. The American government offered him oil at $3.28 a barrel, and the Russians offered it at $1.50. What would you do? You'd buy Russian oil. So he bought Russian oil. And then the refinery said they were not going to refine the oil for him because they were American refineries. So he said, well, if I'm going to have a revolution, I'm going to have to nationalize them. So he nationalized, he took over the American refineries. That's when they called him a communist. But he wasn't, wow. Because you know what he did? He paid the American companies back the money that they claimed that these refineries were worth in their income tax returns. Now, you will never learn that in any American school, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford. You will not learn the truth about that revolution in Cuba. The other thing I'm going to tell you about is the Fairness Doctrine. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Well, we don't have it anymore because Jim Garrison went on national television on The Tonight Show, which you see in the film, and he said the CIA murdered our president. They said, we can't have these kind of truths. Tell you how powerful it was. I did a review of a movie called Soylent Green. Do you know the movie?
Yes, yes.
Okay. It was so dreadful. I said that I should say something nice about this film. So I'll say that the sets are beautiful, but they'd be more beautiful if they'd been placed in front of the actors. Well, 20th Century Fox sued to try to get equal time. NBC turned them down. California Supreme Court turned them down. And then finally, I'm the only critic in America to have a review ruled upon by the Supreme Court in Washington. And they turned the producer down saying John Barber's reviews were of absolutely no public importance.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go. Now, I'm just going to tell you, these are only a small fraction of the stories in the book. And so you must send me your address, and I will send you an autographed copy of the book. I urge all of you to go to my site, www.johnbarbersworld.com. You'll see the Garrison tapes free. You'll get a link to the second movie, and you'll get a link to the book, Your Mother's Not a Virgin, which will be one of the most informative, fun books you will ever read. And Diana, I cannot thank you enough for having me on, and let alone having a wonderful show like this.
Well, thank you so much. It has been an honor to visit with you, and bless your heart. Thank you so much for what you've done and what you continue to do by revealing these things. You have a lot of courage, and I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Diana.
We need to do this again.
We will. When I get back from Canada, I'm going to go on a book tour.
Wonderful. That's terrific. That is terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All righty, stay with us. We're at the top of the hour, and we will be back with our next guest.
People write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.